watching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, they did a tune-up in the studio yesterday. It sounds pretty good. I can actually hear myself talk now. Not that that's a good thing. Currently, it's 89 degrees. Humidity is 25%. The winds are out of the southwest at 22 miles an hour. Wind gust up 28, and we are under a fire weather warning till 12 a.m. tonight. Midnight tonight. We are under a wind advisory also until 8 o'clock this evening. It's not pretty, and it's already started out there. Fire on the highway out there by the 100th Meridian store started on the highway, but Raiden, Kelton, Sweetwater, whoever was going towards there, fire departments, they got her knocked down and under control the last I heard. So anyway, thank you very much to all you volunteer fire for what you do. And yes, there's some issues going on with the power with the radio tower. You can get on Facebook or get on the KECOFM.com, and we're streaming there. But there, I think it's back up. Everything is good. I think Gabe was out there trying out a new drone and hit the tower and knocked some of the power out. So anyway, they were working on it and we're testing it stuff. So anyway, but you can, if you get online, you can hear us streaming live there. Pretty good. Well, anyway, I have a special guest in the studio. I've been trying to get him in here since the day I started. And I think he wanted to wait till I started speaking better language before he came in. Anyway, the Arky, as I call him, Bobby Armstrong from the National Wildlife Turkey Federation is in here. We're going to talk turkey hunting, and this man has won some awards. I don't know if you follow him on social media, but this guy cares. So we're going to have him in here talking about what he's been accomplishing here on the next segment. Meanwhile, let's go to the markets. The text line is lighting up. I'm going to say this one pretty quick. This text asked me if I would remind people to please move out of the way of emergency vehicles and those with flashers on. A lot of your volunteer firemen don't have red and blue lights on their trucks. They got flashers on. If somebody comes up behind you and the flasher's on, please just move out of the way. Don't question what they're doing. Just get out of their way. It could be their wife's having a baby. Who knows? Just get out of their way and be done with it. No road rage needed. None of that stuff going on. So, yes, I'd be appreciative. Because out here when the Potter fire was going on out here along I-40, sightseers caused people to cause traffic jams where the fire departments couldn't get into there to where they needed to go. So just stay away from the fires, because if Paul Hightower, do you know him? He's a legend in this parts. If he shows up with that self-propelled water nozzle on the front of the truck, he's going to get you out of the way. So you might as well stay out of the way. But anyway, and while I'm on the subject of fire departments, thank you again for all you kind-hearted people that dug down deep in your pockets and donated some money to the fire departments. We're not done yet. The raffle's still going on in Roger Mills County. They still got one going on at Laverne. They still got a raffle going on down at Cooperton, Snyder, down in there. Please continue to help, because if this drought continues, they're going to need it. Like I said, I think from what I heard at a meeting here a while back, almost $500,000 in fuel and repair costs already to about half of our volunteer fire departments around here. That don't sound like a lot of money to 30 or 40 fire departments. Remember, it's all volunteer, and it's just one of those things. please continue donating to your fire department. Willow has been getting some stuff. We're still looking for a one-ton truck for them. If anybody knows any of those oil field buddies that you got that are high up in some of those service companies and would like to donate a one-ton truck that might not have all the mileage on it, but the Willow Fire Department could really use a brush rig. And not a piece of crap. That means they got to spend money that they don't have. And I'm not talking about it's got to be brand new. It just needs to be in something in good shape. Well, let's check out the grain markets here. Let me refresh. All right. Looks like all the livestock are down except for April. April live cattle are 141.90. It's up 3.4, but June live cattle is down at 132.67. August live cattle down 135.40. October live cattle down 142.50. Feeder cattle are down. May is at 157.02. August is at 168.50. Lean hogs. I don't know what's going on with the hogs, but they have been on a continuous downward trend for the last 2 weeks when they were on an upward trend. So May is 101, June 106.65, July 110.35, cotton at 148, and oil is going up. That's not what we want to hear. I want the oil field to do good. I got oil field in my blood, but they don't need $107 a barrel. So anyway, but they're going to get it. Natural gas is at 726. Been wanting that to come alive for the last 10 years, get back up to normal. That's normal for natural gas, but it does make fertilizer prices high. It's darn if you do and darn if you don't. Anyway, let's see what was happening, what's causing all this stuff. Soybeans and grains are higher in overnight trading amid less than ideal weather in the United States and South America and on signs of global demand. Rainfall across the Dakotas and Nebraska into Minnesota may slow planting, as well as precipitation in the southern and western Midwest, said Don Kinley, an agriculture meteorologist with Maxar. Corn and soybean sowing are behind their normal pace for this time of the year, but it's still very early in the planting season. Some 7% of the U.S. corn crop was in the ground as of Sunday, behind the average of 15% for this time of the year. The USDA, in their report earlier this week, said 2% of the crop had emerged from the ground, and that's down from the average 3%. So we're on track. About 3% of soybeans were in the ground at the start of the week, behind their prior 5-year average of 5%. The good news is the rainfall will boost soil moisture, but precipitation also may fall in parts of the southern plains where it is very extremely dry. And everybody in my listening area, we know this very well. Little or no rain has fallen in most of the southern plains in the past 30 days. How about the last 180? That'd be more accurate, according to the maps from the National Weather Service precipitation page. Drought has spread into Kansas, the biggest U.S. producer of wheat varieties. Just over 68% of the state is seeing drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. In Oklahoma, meanwhile, 65% of the state was seeing drought. That's down from 73% a week ago, according to the monitor. Then people right southeast corner of our listening area got a great rain last week, and prayers were answered. Now hopefully our prayers can be answered up here. We really need some rain. Only 27% of the U.S. winter crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of the week. That's down 30% from a week earlier, and 49% of the same point last year. About 11% of the crop was headed down from prior 5-year average at 19% for this time of the year. Soybean futures for July delivery jumped 13.25 cents to $16.98 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $4.90 to $435 a short ton, while soybean oil futures dropped 0.28 cents to 86.32 cents a pound. Corn futures rose 1 penny to $8.14.5 a bushel. Wheat for May delivery added 9 cents to $10.94 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 4 1/4 cents to $11.45 a bushel. Well, let's skip on past the corn exports. I've talked about corn exports enough this week, and anyway, but I will tell you, Mexico was the biggest buyer. So anyway, salute out to our neighbors to the south. Persistent dry weather in the southern plains will continue into the weekend, as the red flag warnings have been issued for all western Kansas through Texas to the Mexican border, according to the National Weather Service. In southwestern Kansas, winds today will be sustained at 25 to 35 miles an hour, with gusts up to 50 miles an hour, and basically that's what we got coming here in about an hour and a half, according to my weather app. Humidity will drop as low as 8%. In Oklahoma and Texas panhandles, winds will gust up to 35, while humidity will fall as low as 5%. Parts of the Texas panhandle might see some storms this evening, which will bring severe weather to the region. A low chance for isolated strong to severe thunderstorms will exist across the extreme southeastern Texas panhandle and rolling plains during the evening hours tonight. So that's pretty close to us. There was a big old cloud build up down there last night, but it didn't last long. And as we all know, this time of the year, if a storm pops up like that, big hail's coming up, and they are predicting hail in that storm tonight. So for my people that are listening down there around Hollis and down in that area around Childress, be aware what's coming. Further north in southern Dakota and central Nebraska, Nebraska high wind warnings and wind advisories have been issued for over the weekend. Winds tomorrow in northern Nebraska and southern South Dakota will be sustained at 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 60 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service. One more thing before we go to break. Somebody didn't hear about my goat I talked about yesterday. There was a goat brought $310,000. You don't get possession of the goat. You only have half interest in it. And you don't even probably get to ever see the goat. Who knows? But anyway, $310,000 for a goat. And somebody said, you were kind of making fun of that. I'm not making fun of the goats, because I got friends that raise goats. I'm making fun of the $310,000 that was paid for a goat for half entrance. And while they was there, before they sold a straw, the semen, out of this goat for $40,000. Would you pay $310,000 for a goat?
I don't think I'll pay $310,000 for about anything.
So, well, there's a, I mean, I can see paying $310,000 for a bull, because I'm sure they produce a lot, because semen's where the money's at.
Yeah.
And I can see where they could do that. But, you know, I'm doing the weight factor. 2,000-pound bull, 175-pound goat. 310 for the bull, 310 for the goat. You're getting more money for your buck with the bull.
You would think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a redneck version of looking at it, but that's the best I can do. But I just, half interest? That's half interest. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, yeah, it's a true story. If somebody was telling you that, you know, not all my stuff on my show's fake news, but anyway, it's pretty close. But anyway, Bobby and I'll be back, and I'll introduce you to Mr. Bobby Armstrong, the Arky. He's still on my phone as the Arky. So anyway, we'll come back and talk about turkey hunting and the wonderful things that Bobby's been doing with the Turkey Foundation and with hunters. He's not just a turkey hunter; he's an all-around turkey guy, and he does. I want to hear more about this squirrel deal that he's putting on. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Woo. 91 degrees. We got a heat index now. 87. Humidity's dropped 5% since we started the show. We're at 20%. Southwest winds at 23 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 32 now. We are under a fire weather warning, and it is serious today. It's just as serious today, the Berlin fire. I don't know if the National Guard's got the helicopters out here and the Forest Service is stationed anywhere. If anybody knows, text line is open, 580-225-9697. I appreciate it. If you've seen them along I-40 stationed somewhere, I would like to know that. And they could have headed out to Sweetwater because that thing was headed northeast. I had a buddy out there on site. He beat the fire departments out there. But anyway, I have your Hober Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later in the show. But now, let's get to the special guest I have in the studio today. Studio, that's a gymbonics for studio. But Bobby, welcome to the show. Mr. Bobby Armstrong. I don't even know who he's with anymore. I know he's still with the National Wildlife Turkey Federation. You're the boss. Are you the boss or your wife boss at Pofolks?
Well, my wife is boss of everything.
Okay, all right. Anyway, I kind of took that.
Yeah. From being,
I know you're a big old boy, but you can tell she'll grab you by the ear. Yeah. you're with Pofolks, and then what's your real job?
So my real job, I work at Canadian Valley Technology Center. I'm a safety instructor, so I teach OSHA classes, CPR classes, and stuff like that in El Reno.
So you're kind of safety-minded.
I try to be.
Try to be. Well, I don't even know where to start. I wrote a bunch of stuff down. Part of the stuff I knew, but you are the Save the Hunt coordinator for the state of Oklahoma for the National Wildlife Turkey Federation.
Correct.
Describe that.
So the Save the Hunt coordinator, each state has a Save the Hunt coordinator, and what our role is to work with NWTF local chapters, the NWTF state chapter, other NGOs like Quail Forever that you're part of,
right.
ODWC, stuff like that, to try to save the hunt. You know, every year we're losing more and more hunters, which means it equates to less and less hunting and fishing license.
Right.
Which, you know, as you know, Jimmy, the hunters pay for 80% of the conservation in the United States.
Yes.
Shotguns, you know, having trap shoots and buying shotgun shells, that's part of the Pittman Robinson dollars.
Yep.
So kind of my role, volunteer role, is to try to get more people into hunting and shooting sports, and work with other agencies as much as I can to accomplish that.
And you know as well as I know, the last 5 to 7 years, the shooting sports in Western Oklahoma has stepped it up.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're kicking butt, ain't they?
Yeah, they're kicking butt, but there's more of them.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen it at Sayre. They didn't even really have, for their high school scholastic team, they haven't really had enough for a team. Now, their junior team actually placed fifth in the state this year. They're doing good.
I mean, Merritt's doing good.
Eric's
starting to come up, you know, so it's good to see that. And what those young people don't realize is for every shotgun they buy, every box of ammo they buy, there is a federal tax that is being collected at the merchant, you know, at the manufacturer.
Right.
I'm sure it gets passed on to the consumer, but the manufacturer is the one who has to pay it.
Right.
Well, that's federal money that the state of Oklahoma and other states can go after. It's called Pittman-Robinson dollars,
right,
to help do conservation work in our state.
Yes. It's all about conservation.
It is.
All about conservation. To add to what you just said, though, those kids out there shooting, we're all hoping, you and me both, and parts of our conservation groups that we're part of, we're hoping that those kids will go start hunting.
Well, I mean, the hunting and fishing license is important because that's what funds the majority of the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife.
Right.
And they have more than just game wardens. You know, they have biologists, as you well know, that's doing studies or taking
guys.
Care of our. Yeah, and they don't just take care of hunting animals, they take care of all animals in our state. They worry about butterflies and all kinds of stuff, like the pollinators and stuff like that. So we need to fund them. Well, they're really the only state agency that I know of in any state that is not funded by taxpayer money.
Right.
You know, they're funded by hunting and fishing license. Well, if we keep going down the road of losing hunters and fishermen as we get older, me and you get older,
right,
and the younger generation doesn't pick that up, well, then eventually their funding is going to follow and they're going to lose money as well, and we can't do the conservation work that we're currently doing.
No, our state capital will get more involved because they're going to have to pitch some money in there. We don't need that. The wildlife department, you know, everybody, if you go to each state, the wildlife department's not perfect.
No.
Nobody's perfect.
No.
But I think Oklahoma does a really good job. And they get a lot of help from organizations like the turkey, the quail,
the ducks.
The ducks. They get a lot of help from them. It ain't much, but it's, you know, but under our current farm bill, which I hope it gets renewed next year, under our current farm bill, they have a deal in there for the, if I can't remember the name part of that deal, but I know what they do. If, say, you guys donate $50,000 and the quail guys donate $50,000, somewhere, it might be $5,000 at a time or $1,000, the farm bill will match it.
Oh, really?
5 to 1.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like we bought a piece of equipment for the pack saddle up there,
mm-hmm,
and it was $5,000. Well, they got it matched, so they got a bigger piece,
right,
of equipment, or nicer piece.
Well,
of
equipment. And they get it matched through Pittman Robinson funds,
right,
and stuff like that. So, you know, the money that the NWTF donates to the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, that is, our biologists are working with the ODWC's biologists to try to get matching funds. And on current average, we're doing 4 to 1. So for every dollar we donate, they get another $4.
Exactly.
For it, just like with you guys at Quail Forever. There's some times that I've seen matches of 13 to 1. So for every dollar that's donated, there's $13 added to it. Well, you know, that can stretch that out. So when you buy a raffle ticket at one of our banquets, you know, and you spend $20 on that raffle ticket, our goal is to take that $20 and turn it into $80.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And stretch it out, and if you know, up in Roger Mills, I noticed that Black Kettle and that has done a lot of cedar tree removal.
Right.
Last time I checked, they were over $500,000, close to $1 million worth of work up there in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
You know, a lot of that seed money came from NWTF and, you know, you guys with Quail Forever and stuff,
right,
like that. So they were able to take that money and then go after matching funds and
and put, do a lot more work.
Put, do a lot more work on there.
Yeah, because, I mean, we're not, we're, these organizations don't have millions of dollars running out their ears.
No.
And I wish we did, but the way it's set up right now, we can, it works out really good. If you're just joining me, Bobby Armstrong, he's with Po-Folk.
I am a Po-Folk.
He is a Po-Folk. He's also the safety hunt coordinator for the National Wildlife Turkey Federation here in Oklahoma. We're talking with him, and it's, the show won't be long enough, so we might as well continue on. But anyway, what is the IHEA US 50 for 50? What is
so? That? Being that I'm a safety instructor, it just makes sense that I become a hunter ed instructor.
Yeah.
So several years ago, I became a hunter ed instructor, and I kind of helped teach. Sometimes Lieutenant Edwards would call me and have me co-teach classes with him.
Right.
I've taught classes on my own, hunter ed classes. Well, the IHEA is the International, it's IHEA, International Hunter Education Association.
Okay.
And it's just a nationwide association. Well, they reached out to the state agencies, the wildlife departments in each state, and asked them to nominate somebody to be recognized as what they call the 50 for 50. So 50 states, 50 volunteers.
Oh, okay.
Well, ODWC nominated me, and I was selected to be the Oklahoma recipient for the International Hunter Education Association 50 for 50 Award. And it's sponsored by Sig Sawyer. So I got a cool little Yeti cup and a plaque and all that. But it was pretty cool.
Man, that title rings. Bobby's 50 for 50. So anyway, well, congratulations
thank you.
For that award. See, I wish they was... there'd been more guys like you around when I was younger, like in my late teens and early 20s, because I'm going to tell a story that I probably shouldn't. But back in the day, I went dove hunting one time over here, Custer County, actually. And went hunting, pulling out the gate where I had permission to hunt. Shot some dove off the highline wire because it was really easy to it was dove season. And get back in the truck, here comes that little Dodge truck with the Oklahoma Wildlife sticker on the side of it. It was Clovis Bond, game warden. That's that way back then. And anyway, I didn't have my hunting license update. You know, back then you forget to.
He was an outlaw.
Yeah, no, I actually buy my deal, but you know, September's early to buy a license for the year.
Yeah.
And shoot from the road, shoot off highline wires. 9 yards. Well, there's nothing he could do about I'm getting a ticket for hunting without a license.
Right.
And you can't prove that wrong to any judge in Oklahoma, no matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican.
Right.
That's guaranteed you're going to pay that fine. But he was kind enough, since his my boss and him were really good buddies, he was kind enough to make me work out the rest.
Nothing wrong with that.
And he said, "You're a really good bow hunter, and I know you are, so I want you to come teach bow hunting." This is when they started the hunter safety courses. "I want you to come teach hunter safety at my course at Burns Flat at the Votech." "Sure, I'll do that." And he said, "Also, hunter ethics." I taught it for 8 years.
That's awesome.
And I have been in trouble with the law since.
Yeah.
And it's good, because Cap Jeff Hendrick,
yep,
took over Jody deputy's spot, and you know, Jeff, he's by the book.
Yeah.
And which they should be.
Yeah, they should be. I mean, they have a job to do, and they have an important job to do. So
yeah. So you're friends with a game warden, but don't try your friendship by doing something stupid.
No, yeah. Don't take advantage of that, so, by no means.
Well, we're going to be right back after this. We'll continue. We got a few things more to talk about, what happened at the National Convention and what the National Wildlife Turkey Federation's got coming up here just in a couple weeks. Be right back after this.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 22nd. 1,478 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 316 brought 210. 3 at 470 brought 196. 7 at 529 brought 194. 5 at 648 brought 168.50. 15 at 983 brought 137. 5 head of heifers at 218 brought 450. 12 at 399 brought 172. 10 at 460 brought 161. 6 at 585 brought 158.50. 14 at 646 brought 153. Butcher cows were 25 to 95. Butcher bulls brought 71 to 120. Bred cows were were $6.50 to $13.25. Pairs brought $500 to $16.50. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, 92 degrees, the temperature's climbing. Get a little ways to go. Winds are out of the southwest, 22 miles an hour, and have some wind gusts up to 28 miles an hour. But that humidity is dropping like a rock. We're already down to 17%. That's 8% drop in 39 minutes. Well, we're going to continue on here. I have Bobby Armstrong with Poe Folks Hunting and then National Wildlife Turkey Foundation or Federation. I don't know why I always want to say foundation, but anyway, it's just me. But anyway, you first, before we get to the gun bash, tell me, looks like you was on stage the whole time at the national convention.
Yeah, so every year we have a national convention at Nashville, Tennessee at the Gaylord. And they have, for volunteers, me and another guy won one individual award. Then our state chapter, I received two awards based for our state chapter. So the first award I won, the individual award, is I won the NWTF National Mentor of the Year. So
yeah, because you're a good one.
Yeah, so it's just because, you know, I try to take people hunting and teach them how to hunt and stuff like that. So I was nominated by some people here in Oklahoma that they had to write essays and stuff like to explain why I should be awarded this. I had no clue
were
that they were
kids
doing
kids.
No, these were
peers. Adults.
Yeah, these were adults.
Had to write an essay.
Yeah, well, kind of why they would nominate
right,
me and stuff like
you.
That. And there were several. You know, I had one guy from the Tulsa area that wrote a letter because the first time I met him, I'd done a turkey hunting 101 class, and he was a new adult hunter that was trying to learn how to turkey hunt. And I spent 4 hours with him and some other people, and we became friends. And I've mentored him along his hunting, you know, not just turkey hunting, but deer hunting and any other hunting he types to do. Then, you know, I've had some other people that wrote letters to nominating me. So I didn't even know I got nominated, and they called me and told me I won.
Well,
so
they wanted it to be a surprise.
It was a surprise. And then we also won the state chapter, which any NWTF member in Oklahoma is part of the state chapter. So when
right.
I say that, I'm talking about all members.
Right.
So we won what's called the best inaugural event for a 2021 squirrel hunt that we did. And then we also won the best partnering event for the NWTF for a deer conference that we do in Oklahoma City, and where we partnered with Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Quail Forever was part of it. You know, there was several NGOs and people that we partnered with, so we won a partnering event.
It doesn't work without partners.
Nope, it doesn't.
We might Sometimes we might have different opinions, but in the bottom, we got to all work together because we have to solve, we have to try to solve our problems.
It is.
And, you know, in the turkey deal for the last 3 or 4 years, turkeys have been, population has been going backwards. And I think you guys did a wonderful job doing that. Quail population, I don't know what's going to be done about that. I have high hopes that it'll recover. But we're getting more and more people. There's getting more and more habitat taken away. But and turkeys are a little bigger. Well, they're bigger birds, so they're a little tougher than quail. This morning, I went to check pivots. Six gobblers out there this morning fighting over one hen.
That's cool.
And she was eating it. She was eating it up. And the other boys were strutting their stuff. But I love the outdoors. Period. But there's we got to have a partnership.
Yep.
We got to work. True. We got to work together with law enforcement and with the wildlife departments. We all have to solve this problem.
And we need to work with landowners and and everything like that, because it all benefits us long term. You know?
Oh yeah. Well, and then what was the partner event about?
So
that was what we was talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. So the partner event is a deer conference. So me and another guy got to the idea of. We see a lot of new people wanting to learn how to deer hunt, and they go to Facebook and they ask questions. And some of the questions that are some of the answers on Facebook was like probably illegal to say the best.
I was going to ask you what you thought about shooting turkeys off the roost when they were flying off the roost, but we won't go there.
Yeah, well, but so, you know, I had seen one comment one day of a guy said, How do you have to be exempt from a hunter ed card? Well, the reply was 21. Well, that's not true. It's 31.
Yeah.
You know, so we decided to put a deer hunting workshop together for novice people who want to learn how to deer hunt and tell them the basics and have subject matter experts come in. So last year we partnered with ODWC and we had like Dallas Barber, who's the big game biologist.
Yep.
Dallas done a deer biology in class. You know, we had Jerry Shaw with who's a biologist, wildlife department. He done a muzzleloading class to talk about muzzleloading basics, and we done archery basics and stuff like that. Well, that partner, and then we had help from Quail Forever on funding.
Yeah,
you guys donated money to help pay for this. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers donated money and sent manpower to help this. So. We're planning on doing this again in August 13th in Midwest City at the Reed Center. This will be our fourth year to do it, and it's starting to grow. And we're going to open it up not only for new deer hunters, but for experienced deer hunters, too. We're going to have some experience classes because I don't know if you guys know Dallas Barber, but I was pretty impressed when he started talking about deer biology. He was telling me stuff that I didn't know. Been deer hunting all my life, and he's educating me on stuff. So, you know, there's other experienced deer hunters that might get some information, not opinions, but scientific information from Dallas on some of the classes. We're working with Buck Venture some to have some of them guys. I think we're going to do a question and answer session with Daniel McVeigh. You know, he travels all over Oklahoma deer hunting and then the nation and stuff like that. So we try to do, because we don't know the questions people want to know, so we'll open it up to a question and answering for him.
That'll be great. Well, we got just a few minutes left here. Your gun bash is coming up May.
Yep, May 14th, Canyon Oilfield Service this will be our first year in Elk City for us to do a gun bash. We normally have done a hunting heritage banquet where we auction off, you know, paintings and sculptures and stuff. The chapter out here in Elk City wanted to do more of instead of doing the auction stuff, let's give more guns away, because who doesn't want more guns?
Hot, and you know, the COVID deal changed everybody's game plan.
Yeah,
every organization, I don't care who you are, whether you're dealt with the outdoors and wildlife, and or if it's a nursing deal, it doesn't matter. The COVID has changed the way things are run.
We're going to try doing a gun bash this year to see how it works. You know, it's going to be May 14th, Canyon Oil Field at 6 p.m. We're selling tickets now. You can buy, if you want to come, you want a gun bash tickets are $100. That'll get you one ticket into the drawing, and you'll have a 1 in 10 chance of winning a firearm. Plus, it'll come with an NWTF membership, and it'll come with a meal. So you can come in and
that's a good buy.
eat a meal with us and fellowship with other hunters and other conservationists. Most people here don't turkey hunt in this area. Most people on my committee are not turkey hunters, but they're conservationists. They want to help conservation. And same way with, you know, you guys on Quail Forever. Turkey habitat, quail habitat, same habitat. Even deer habitat is the same as all of them. So if we can help with one habitat, we're helping multiple animals, not just one animal.
I don't know if you want to go out on a limb with me, but what do you think about all this corn feeding that's been going on that people have been talking about, the aflatoxins?
So I'm not a biologist, but I try to talk to biologists and educate myself.
Right.
I do think there is some aflatoxin. I think some feeders don't have aflatoxin. So right now, the way I look at it is we have subject matter experts who are making the regulations, the wildlife department. And if they say it's okay, I'm going to keep doing it. If they say it's not, you know, I may ask questions as to why it's not, but I'm going to do what they say because they're subject matter experts in that. I'm not. You know, for example, our turkey season went from April 6th through start date to April 16th. And a lot of people are like, why are they pushing it back? That was a question I asked our rural biologist at an NWTF state board meeting. He's with the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife, why are you moving it back? And one thing he told me that I did not realize is, well, I did realize part of this, but I didn't realize it to the extent. When you have two, three, so you talk about there's six gobblers chasing a hen, right?
Yeah.
Out of those six gobblers, there's only one gobbler that's going to breed her.
Yep.
And that's the boss gobbler.
Yeah.
And if you shoot that boss gobbler, well, then the other five gobblers takes about a week before they pick a boss gobbler to breed her. So we lost a week or so of breeding that should have been taking place.
It's like a poker game.
It is.
Yeah. And, you know, but the boss gobbler always gets the best hand every time. And I've watched it for years, and I'm by far not an expert turkey hunter. I love turkey hunting, but I've been watching these for a week now.
Yeah.
And I've been sitting there. It's always that same one.
It is. So that's the reason they moved it from April 6th to April 16th. And once that was explained to me, I fully support that because that's going to get more hens bred, which hopefully will have more fertile eggs, which hopefully will increase a poult production. And we should hopefully start seeing poults, you know, June, July-ish type time frame in that. But, you know, they're the subject matter expert. You know, Marcus Thibodeau, which I know you know. I mean, he's the expert.
He's the boss now. Yeah, he was in here with Lieutenant James. Oh, by the way, Lieutenant James, he sent in a text message for you. He said, Bobby does a great job promoting legal, and he put them in big letters. I mean, he must have heard my story. Legal hunting and fishing.
Yes, sir.
I don't do that anymore, Lieutenant James, so you don't have to stake out my house. Anyway, but there's it's I think everything's good. You know, I proposed a deal for quail. Mm-hmm. And nobody bid on it. Even Marcus kind of rolled his eyes. I said that we should not shoot hens when they get up and flight in the covey. So the rooster, just shoot roosters only. And nobody fell for it on the quail hunt.
I like to quail hunt myself. And I don't know when I'm trying to get on a bird if that's a rooster, I mean, or hen, you know. You got better eyesight than I do.
The ones with gold, I mean, it's simple.
Okay, listen, shooting them on the ground is probably not ethical, Jimmy.
Anyway, Bobby, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having us.
No, and we'll have you back in prior to the bash.
We'll try.
And if you can. And then afterwards, at least come in after the bash and see how the first bash.
If they want tickets, they can call me.
Yeah.
580-339-0508. Or they can see any of our committee members, Dustin, Susan Thomas, Rick and Karen Mitchell, or my wife, and, you know, some of the main committee members.
And they got a Facebook page, isn't
it? Yeah, we do have a Facebook page, or my personal page is where I put a lot of.
And go on there and find out what Popoke is. Because if you can't see it on the camera, it's like a big board right there on his shirt.
I'm just a Popoke.
I know. Anyway, Bobby, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Jimmy.
When we get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you. Because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, April the 26th, we sold 834 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, April the 28th, we sold 3,372 calves and feeders for a total of 4,206 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killer cows, 75 to 86, with the thin cows bringing 50 up to 77. Bulls brought 70 up to 121. Two-day-year-old bred cows, 1050 to 1125, with their two-day-year-old pairs, 925 to 1375. 9 and older pairs, 1110 to 1150. Hunter steer cattle, 4 to 450 steers, 195 to 215, 5 to 550, 181 to 188. 6 to 650, 163 to 175, 7 to 750, 154 to 163 and a half, 8 to 850, 148 to 156, and our 9 to 950 steers, 135 to 144, 1,050 pound steers, 130 and a half to 137, 27 steers weighing 1103, bring 130. Hunter heifers, 350 to 408 heifers, 173 to 189, 4 to 450, 168 to 173, 5 to 550, 150 to 170, 6 to 650, 145 and a half to 154 and a half, 7 to 750, 133 to 144, 8 to 50, 140 and a half to 141.50, and our 9 to 950 heifers, 132 to 135.75. For this Tuesday, May the 3rd, we have a dispersal of 110 Angus red cows and pairs. The ranch sold, have to sell the cows. They're 3 to 12 years old. Save heifers every year. Some have big calves will split. Several be sold as pairs. We also got 16 Angus heifers he was saving for this year for replacements. Very nice outfit. Very gentle. Very nice. Thursday we finished the sale at 3,372 calves and feeders. Finished at 2 p.m. The crew worked very hard. I hire X to help to run a speedy sale. Cost more money, but I realize a speedy sale you get more for the cattle. Good for the buyers and good for the sellers. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
92 degrees. If anybody's listening to the show today, I want you guys to text in to me and see if you think the show sounds better. We changed the oil in my mic yesterday, and I think it sounds better. It looks like it sounds better in the meters and all these little things that I don't even know what they mean up here. But anyway, I want to pin you and see if it sounds better. Anyway, it's 92 degrees, heat index of 88. I called Dr. Taylor Mouse a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago and said, hey, let's go Brandon. It's time to work some cows. We're going to rebrand some cows and put some cedars and stuff in today. So anyway, we're going to do that. I'm going to get this show loaded up as soon as it's over and head out there, fire the generator up, fire the brand up, and we're going branding. And we're going to do some other stuff, work the calves. So we got a full afternoon already planned. So 13% humidity, it's dropping like a rock, people. Be careful out there. We are under a fire weather warning. That's red flag for some people. Wind advisory till 8 o'clock tonight. The warnings till midnight. Winds are 28, gusting up to 36. Today breezy, 95 degrees. Tonight breezy, but the winds are going to switch after midnight out of the north, but it's still going to be windy. Tomorrow sunny, 80. Northwest winds 10 to 20. 30% chance of thunderstorms Sunday at 81 degrees. But check this out. I've been noticing it's been climbing. Sunday night, 70%. That's the best chance of rain we've had in months. So please, please, please rain. Anyway, Monday, 30% chance of showers, 85 degrees. Tuesday, 75 and no wind and sunny. It's going to be beautiful out there. Anyway, we need fires. One fire has already started. There's probably been some others. I don't have the scanner in the here, so I don't know. But anyway, everybody be careful out there. Lots of property and stuff can be lost during a fire. Check your chains. I know you're out there baling and swathing and doing all that good stuff. Please keep an eye out on anything. Carry your fire extinguisher. I will have a water can out there with me today, Brandon, because you know what hair, hot hair can do to dry grass out there. So we will, but there's a lot of dirt around the lots out there, so it won't, probably shouldn't go nowhere. But anyway, we'll have a water can out there just in case. Well, I don't mean, there was a lot to talk about today, but I got to talking hunting with Bobby, and of course it ate up a little more time. But Monday, I got some farm garden stuff coming on, and we got talking about some gardening, some heirlooms. You guys, there's a lot to learn about heirlooms and its history and how these seeds have continued for hundreds of years and still end up. We still got parts of tomato plants that was 200 years old. So anyway, it'd be fun. I just got this equipment deal that I wanted to talk to you guys about, just so you know what's going on with the farming. I got a comparison of equipment from 1981 to 2021 on cost. A 4040 in 1981 cost $21,000. A tractor comparable to a 4040 today, $110,000. This is, 40 years later? So basically, it just doubled in price every year as it went up, or it added $21,000 down. 190 horsepower, 4840 in 1981, $45,000. A 200 horsepower tractor today is around $400,000. Pull type mower conditioners. A pull type back in the early 80s was around $17,000. Today it's around $45,000. A windrower, self-propelled swather. I remember when we got a new one in 1983, 3830. $35,000. Today, $150,000. Small square baler, $4,000 in the early 80s. Today, $30,000. Large round baler, 510, 500, $17,000. Today, $60,000. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful weekend. I'll see you Monday at noon on Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.
Plug in and stay connected.
Check us out.
Stay connected.